Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's a song by Carrie Job. She is a popular Christian singer, and the song's called Forever. And it starts very simply. There's just a couple of piano chords, a single voice, and these lyrics. It says, the moon and stars, they wept. The sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on a cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. And as the next verse ends, the song begins to crescendo. Instruments are added. Background voices are added. The volume starts to swell. And it all leads to the refrain. And the refrain is this loud sound. And here are the words. It says, the ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. The perfect love could not be overcome. Now, death, where is your sting? A resurrected king has rendered you defeated. And forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. And forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Now, I can imagine that if she had lived at the time of Jesus, she may have composed this song immediately after visiting the empty tomb. And running back to the apostles, she would have burst through the doors and she would have sung, forever, he is alive! He is alive! And the disciples might have replied, yeah, so what? We heard. What are we supposed to do with that information? Go out and tell people? And end up like Jesus? See, we're already being hunted because of him. Thanks, but no thanks. Besides, even if we did venture out into the masses, what would people even do with that information? What good would it even do them? And the next question they would whisper, because nobody would want to say it out loud. What good did it do us? Now, I can tell you that throughout all of my years of teaching and leading Bible studies, especially with the teens, that's a question that I normally have to ask because nobody else wants to. They all wonder about it, especially the teens. Especially when they find themselves under pressure from society because of their beliefs. They never, ever ask because they don't believe that it's appropriate to do so in a Bible study setting. Now they know, and we know, that on the cross, Jesus became sin. And he felt the full weight of God's judgment. And they know that he gave his life up for them. And they know that his resurrection gives them assurance that death has been defeated and that their sins have been atoned for. The teens know all of this, but it doesn't answer their question. What good did it do me? And they're afraid to ask because it makes them feel guilty. They think that this knowledge should be enough for them. But it isn't. It isn't because they are asking about them and their relationship to their friends and their relationship to the world and their relationship to God. See, it's a question about personal application of Christ's resurrection in their own immediate lives. And so I'm typically the one that has to bring up that question. And so this morning I bring it up and I ask it to you. What did Jesus' death and resurrection actually accomplish for you? We can talk about this all we want, but from a contemporary worldview, the answer is not much. The world is still a dangerous place. Demons still roam the world. There's sickness, there's death, there's disease, and those are just the things that we can't control. I haven't even listed the activities from the humanity and what we voluntarily carry out. You see, Christians can talk all we want about what it accomplished. And we can use big church words like justification and atonement. We can explain it. We can sing about it. But that will never be enough for the world. If you're being honest, it'll never be enough for you either. The world needs more than just words. It needs more than signs. And we need more than words. We need more than signs. And even the disciples needed more than signs. Remember, they saw Jesus alive. They saw Jesus resurrected from the dead, and they still didn't understand what good it did for their lives. The other Gospels record that even they continued to hide after seeing him. See, that sign wasn't enough. They needed more. And today, our teens need more. And the world needs more. We need more. We need more than a sign. And in our passage today, Jesus wasn't even offering a sign. Listen to the gospel passage again. You'll see what I mean. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table. And he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." Did you catch that? Jesus is not offering signs so that people will believe. It's not a sales pitch for Christianity. You don't have to believe in the sign before you believe in God. What Jesus was saying was that these signs were an outside representation, an outside symbol of what was happening inside a person's Christian life, inside of them. These were signs that proclaimed to the world that Satan had been defeated, that he had lost his grip on them, that death had been defeated. These were signs that told the world that this person had been adopted into the family of God and was a new creation. And these were signs of the effect that Jesus' death and resurrection had on the person. But they were just signs. And if seeing Jesus resurrected from the dead wasn't enough, surely these signs wouldn't be either. And they still wouldn't be enough to answer the question set before them and set before us this morning. What good did it do us? See, the passage answers that question, but not by describing the signs, not by even describing the people that were impacted by the signs. The answer is in the power behind the signs. You see, what Jesus was saying to his disciples was this: yes, the world is still broken. Yes, there are still demons. And there's still sickness and disease and death. There's still pain and there's still suffering. And you will experience even unto death. But fear not, because I have overcome the world. My resurrection has brought you into a life with me. I am alive in you. And you are alive in me. And now you have the strength to preserve until you are called home. In this passage, it speaks to our teens. And it speaks to us as well. What Jesus says to us is the world is still broken. Yes. Yes, there is still evil. And you will still experience events that affect your life that you have no control over. You'll still experience humiliation from your peers. You'll still be pressured to find no meaning in your life. The world will still tell you that there's no hope, that there's no God, that there is nothing beyond yourself. But fear not, because I have overcome the world. My resurrection has brought you into a life with me. I am alive in you, and you are alive in me. And I have given you strength to place your hope in me, even when all the world tells you that there is none to be found. And I have given you strength to find meaning in your life, even when the world tells you that there is none to be found. And he continues, Jesus says to us, what good did my resurrection do for you? It saved your life. It gave meaning to your life. It gave you hope. and it gave you strength to live another day. My resurrection gave you more than just signs. It gave you more than just words. My resurrection gave you me. And my resurrection gave me you. Let us pray. Lord, you have risen. You are alive, and we sing hallelujah because you have given us new life, new hope, and strength to endure. Go before us as we take this message out into the world, a world that continues to reject you. Use us to reach those whose ears are open to hearing your word. Amen.